We know that participation in traditional organized religion continues to decline in the United States. In fact, recent polling shows that some 40% of American millennials, those born between 1981 and 1996, identify as religiously unaffiliated. So we have a sense of what more and more young people are not. But many of them are finding community, spirituality, and inspiration in new and understudied places. Dr. Sarah Wilkins Laflamme is a Canadian scholar of religion and technology who's been doing groundbreaking research at the intersection of faith and technology, and so is just the person to answer some of these questions. Sarah, welcome to State of Belief Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know, you've been researching and writing about these topics for quite some time now. What would you say is the biggest misconception about young people and faith these days?
Well, it's interesting. I actually see like two poles of misconception at either extreme that I come across when I speak to different groups when I get the chance to talk about my research. So at one extreme, you have the group of kind of like, I don't know, like hardcore secularization theorists or like religion's disappeared. It's gone amongst young people. That's not necessarily the case. You do obviously find it in many different forms, and we'll talk about that more today. But at the other extreme, I also encounter people who feel that, you know, they've seen those numbers of decline of religiosity, especially amongst younger generations in the States as well as in Canada. And they think that everyone has just shifted to something else, but that's quite similar. So have maybe shifted from in-person all to digital religion or spirituality. And, you know, some have, but there is a big chunk of the millennial as well as the emerging Gen Z demographic that don't do either as well. So the kind of the empirical reality is somewhere between the two, right? There is an important segment who do religion and spirituality online as well as in some cases in person. And then there's a chunk who don't, who any way that you ask them to define it or any way that we as researchers define religion and spirituality, they are not involved. And so, yeah, so I kind of, you know, try and find the reality between those two poles when I'm looking at my research. Yeah.
Well, let's talk about that reality and what might be in between. Where does religion find expression and connection for millennials today?
Well, all over the place. So it's not just a digital thing for millennials. It's not just an in-person thing. It's usually a combination of both, right? And this is no big surprise. All aspects of our lives now have a strong digital component in them, and especially after the realities of the pandemic over the last 2 years. And religion is not immune to that, is part of that as well, right? So what I was finding that, you know, most millennials who do religion online, and when I say that, I mean are consuming content about religious ideas, beliefs, behaviors, more maybe in some cases more of like traditional with traditional forms of religion with religious groups and groups that are kind of well known and recognized and have a long history, or in more kind of less conventional spirituality ways. There are still aspects that are still tied to the supernatural, but maybe not necessarily part of more recognized, organized groups. And so, you know, there people are consuming online content. They are participating in that content. They're posting on social media. But often those who do that online, it's meaningful to them. And amongst those individuals, they'll often do some in-person stuff, right? And so they'll, you know, attend the occasional religious service or maybe more frequently. And so what I found is most of the respondents who are online and doing religion digitally were also doing it in person, right? There is a small segment who only do digital religion. There's a small segment of millennials who only do in-person religion and don't have much follow-up online. But most are kind of doing both at the same time. And that's, you know, that's part of our daily lives for most aspects now that we live through. Yeah.
That's sort of a decentralization of religious identity.
Yeah.
How does that affect theological consistency? Who's in charge?
Oh, big question. Okay. That's a great question. And it's one that's really been important for those studying digital religion since, you know, the early days of the internet when this literature or this research began, right? I've only come into this in more recent years, but, you know, this dates back to the 90s, basically when internet became more accessible to the public and became more and more popular. And what, you know, early researchers on digital religion were finding was that in the early days of the internet, it was, you know, I think a bit like the wild west of the internet, was it was very user driven, right? It was very, you know, it was very much, you know, the user was the content generator. It was chat boards. It was, you know, kind of ad hoc web pages. Some religious leaders were innovative and going online straight off the bat. But for the most part, it was, you know, a few people you know, who were maybe a little bit more at the margins of a religious group, so were maybe not as involved in person or didn't feel as comfortable participating in person, but were much more involved on, you know, your kind of early days of emailing and chat boards. And then over time, obviously, and this, again, is something we've seen with the internet in general, as the internet has expanded, become more commercialized, there's bigger companies that now come into play, you know, religious leaders clued in that this was an important source of followers and of sure. information giving and gathering. And so now, you know, you still have that user-driven content, which puts the kind of the authority much more with the individual, right? Like much more focus on the kind of individual choosing what they want to consume and what they want to do online. But that being said, there's some important gatekeepers now. And, you know, I won't go into all of them. There's many. And some of those can be part of more, you know, traditional organized religious groups. Some of them have really kind of built up their online presence and are really part of that virtual world more so than in person. And, you know, so it can be gatekeepers. You know, some of the content might be behind a paywall. Some of it might be, you know, being written and produced by a small number of influencers and gatekeepers. And so there are definitely power dynamics online. It's not like everyone's equal and it's this super democratic way of doing things, but there maybe some of that power has shifted with the online world, right? There's new influencers, there's new gatekeepers at play. And so, yeah, and that has a real impact on, you know, the in-person stuff too, right? Because they're not separate from each other. What people are experiencing in the digital world that's being brought into the in-person world and vice versa, right? So it's kind of also changed the nature of what in-person activities look like. Some people are expecting a much more interactive experience than maybe they were before because that's what they're used to getting online, where they can go in and play a bigger role themselves. And some millennials are coming into the in-person activities with that framework and that way of doing and hoping to find that in person.
So I'm sure you know that a lot of citizens of the U.S. think of Canada as just the United States with colder temperatures.
But it's it doesn't feel like that right now. It's really hot. But yeah.
But you've studied the distinctions between the way these ideas are playing out in Canada and the United States. Can you talk about the differences and what leads to those differences for a couple of minutes?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. So, you know, obviously Canada gets a lot of its content from the States, right? That's no surprise. And the States gets a little bit of its content from Canada. And so, you know, with the internet, there's a lot of, you know, these borders don't matter as much anymore. That being said, what I was finding in my research when, you know, surveying millennials and seeing how often they were involved in digital religion activities and posting on social media about religion and spirituality, what I was finding was that social environment does seem to really have a big impact. So, you know, in Canada, we've seen our religiosity measure decline for quite a bit longer than the US. So ours started to decline, especially in the 1960s. And so Canada, as if you look at the Canadian population overall, is on average less religious on many different measures compared to the States, has been so since the second half of the 20th century. Interestingly, it wasn't before. In the first half of the 20th century, we were actually more religious and more conservative than the States, and that flipped around. And so our measures overall, our averages are now much lower than the States, even though both countries are kind of seeing that decline. And you see that also in the measures of digital religion consumption and social media posting. Canadian millennials on average do much less of it and much less frequently than many millennials in the US do. And so, you know, it's still a thing in Canada. It's still important to study. But you do see that impact. It's these digital religion measures are not separate from some of the trends we've seen with other measures when it comes to lower levels found in Canada. Yeah.
So what are the sources then of moral, ethical, religious values that are emerging, if not from traditional religious sources?
That's a huge question, Jack. I can only offer my small contribution, and I'm sure many of your future podcasts or future works will touch more on this. You know, I think we've become a more, you know, just in terms of numbers of how many people we are in society, we're a lot more people, we're a lot more diverse in many different ways. And so I think there's not just one source anymore, right? Like you can maybe think back to like the agricultural life world of the 19th century, settler colonial groups in North America. And they were probably getting most of their values from like one or two churches in town, right? Or like,
right.
There's obviously some more diversity there, but it was probably mostly coming from a few places. Now there's a lot more out there, right? We're in a much more complex society in many different ways. And so, there are some millennials are getting kind of, they're looking up values, they're reinforcing their own values, they're building their values and sense of meaning online through digital religion and different groups. And again, there's so many that I can't name them all. There's so many that people can. And either with other like-minded individuals or potentially with more like through more official channels with the religious groups. And then there's everything else, right? There's pop culture, there's family, there's friends, there's work, and we're all exposed to that. And some people kind of seem to navigate more to certain areas rather than others. And like I said, so there's a chunk of the millennials who are kind of getting these values and sense of meaning and spiritual quests through either more traditional religious groups or less conventional spiritualities. And then there's a portion of millennials who aren't, who are getting it through completely different means or who are not even maybe even thinking in those terms and are looking for other things. And so, you can think of like fandom groups or music groups or sports groups or, a thousand other things that are out there, right? So it's an eclectic mix. And I guess I always see that our current society is I wouldn't expect it to come from one other thing now. Like, it's not like one thing has replaced religion. Arguably, there was never one thing to do with religion. It was always eclectic, but sure. now it's even more so. And that's okay. Like, in a more complex society, that's probably what you would expect, right?
Are you sensing in the slice of research that you've done that finding these values, sources for promoting them and challenging them, is as important to this generation as it has been in the past? Or is it more important, less important?
That's a great question. And I'll give it, but take it with a grain of salt, because, we're only just beginning to touch on these things. My main expertise is kind of measuring how frequently people do certain things through statistics. But what we're finding, so for example, I'm working on a big project, an international project that's looking at non-religion, so secularity and kind of non-religious issues. And what we're finding with interviews is people don't even have the vocabulary to articulate things like aren't even talking about things in the same way as, say, previous generations would talk about these issues like meaning, values, right? And so I'm sure it's there, but you really have to figure out an alternative way of looking at it and seeing it, because, obviously people have things that are important to them and things that drive them in their life and things that they're looking for. Do they articulate that as like values, as spiritual meaning? Some do, some don't. And so you really have to kind of start scratching at the surface. What we often find is, things like family, like friendships. I think Elizabeth Drescher uses the analogy of the four Fs, the letter F. So like Fido for pets, friends, family. Of course, I'm forgetting the fourth one. I always say function for work. So these things are given meaning and given values, and they're maybe not always discussed in the same way as, say, when you talk about religious values or morals or meaning, right? And so that's what we're finding, especially, some people are on spiritual journeys, as we tend to more traditionally define them, and some aren't. Some are completely outside of that and are doing other things and are even speaking about that in different ways.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of polls around Gen Z that seem to trend a little bit more toward organized religion than the millennial cohort.
Interesting.
Is that something you've come across?
So I'm holding out for Gen Z because it's very early days for Gen Z. And so let's quickly talk about the distinction between millennials and Gen Z. The border of birth years when it goes from being millennial to Gen Z is debated, right? So I know in the States, for example, you quoted for millennial birth years, the 80s and to mid 90s is what some groups in the US use, like the Pew Research Center. But other people will use a bit longer time span that goes even into the early 2000 birth years that still counts as millennial. And And then Gen Z is the kind of newbies who've been born since the 2000s. Some people, we use the distinction between those who had a smartphone ever since they were born, Gen Z, versus millennials who only got smartphone and social media a bit later and so are, you know, having a bit of a different tech socialization. But Gen Z, regardless of how you define them, they're still pretty young. And so their survey data is, you still have to view their survey data that way. Especially in the fact that there's still a lot of them living with their parents. Not all. There's some Gen Zs who've moved out and who have their own households now, but most are still with their parents. And so that's still a time when they're still kind of doing a lot of the stuff that their parents do in their daily lives, including attending religious services or being active with a religious group. The key time that we look at when we're talking about things like slowing down on religious behavior or even religious disaffiliation is usually that late teen to early adult years and that transition out of the parental household into their own household or separate household, you know, maybe when they go to college or university or get their first job and move out. And that's the key time to look at. And so I'm kind of waiting for that time for most of Gen Z to see, are they sticking? I have seen the little slightly higher uptick in organized religion with that group. And so I'm waiting to see if that's going to persist through that period, that transitional period, or if, like with what happened with the millennials, you'll see a kind of decline that happens during that transitional period. And so we'll wait and see. So I'm kind of expecting them to go the way of the millennials, but it's interesting to kind of, I don't want to prejudice it. We'll find out what happens, but it's early days yet. So it's a fascinating result. I am seeing it a little bit, especially in the States, less in Canada, but it's be a bit patient and wait for the next few years of data to see what happens. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you, as a boomer, I'm glad that somebody younger like you is interpreting all of this stuff for me because I don't understand any of it.
Oh, I'm sure you understand more than most, yeah.
Dr. Sarah Wilkins Laflamme is Sociology Undergraduate Associate Chair at the University of Waterloo and Director of the Non-Religion and Secularity Research Network, NSRN. Her new book is entitled Religion, Spirituality, and Secularity Among Millennials, just out from Routledge. Sarah, this is very important work. Thank you so much for being with us today on State of Belief Radio.
Well, thank you so much. Have a good day, everyone.
That's all the time we have for this week's show. Your donations help keep us on the air. Information on how to donate is available at stateofbelief.com. That's stateofbelief.com. Stay up to date by subscribing to the free weekly State of Belief podcast on iTunes or your favorite podcast platform. And take a moment to follow us on Facebook and Twitter and be part of the conversation. Social media helps connect like-minded people in conversation and company. I'd ask you to share State of Belief with just one person this week for whom you think this might be helpful. Our producer is Ray Kirstein. State of Belief Radio is a production of Interfaith Alliance. Become a member today at interfaithalliance.org. And be sure to join us next week for more stories from the intersection of religion, government, and politics. Until then, go team. I'm Jack Moline, and that's State of Belief.
I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.